changing lights and on. It takes forever to get that truck and trailer around a corner. And I heard a snap. It sounded like a shotgun went off in my truck. And I knew pretty much what happened. You know what? Snapped that other U-bolt. I took it into, I drove it all the way to Michigan like that, brother. You know, no U-bolt on that one side back there. You'd have to see the cradles, and I wasn't too worried. I tried not to hit any big bumps, you know, just a few like this a couple of times. And I get to Michigan, and I pulled into my daughter's place and their church up there, her husband's in Manitow Beach, Michigan. I pulled up to an international project. You can take it into an international shop to have them work on because it's such a big rig. I used to do 95% of my own work on my truck. Now I do about 5% of my own work on my truck, amen. And so I pulled in, and I asked the guy to look at it, and he looked at it, called me back the next morning. He said my mechanic went out and looked at that, and he said that's probably going to be about a minimum of a 20-hour job, and probably more like 28 or 30 hours. You're talking $100 an hour there, you know, to have that done. I'm thinking, there just ain't no way. He said, the minimum it's going to cost you, minimum is about $2,500 to $2,700, you know. And so I went and picked up my truck. He said, no charge for looking at it. I said, well, I'm glad for that because, man, what do you get? $2,400 to look at it, too. I'm just, you know. So anyway, I bring it back, and then I drive it all the way to our home church, about another 3.5 hours away, and took it to my garage there, the international garage there, and I asked him, I said, what will this cost me? What happened is it has a modified, that truck is a home-built truck from a guy, and it's got a tractor trailer air system underneath the back of it, modified to fit that truck, is how he built it. So I have to fill it up with air all the time. I don't have an air pump on that truck, you know. And he said, you know, that is a different system right there. I said, yep, I know it. He said, well, he said, what did they tell you? I said, about $2,400 to $2,700. He said, most it's going to cost you maybe $1,500, and I don't think it's going to be that much. It was $1,149. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God provided the money for that. I'm telling you, my friend, I had to have the rear seal changed in the transmission. And by the time we were done that, they did the rear seal, they did the carrier bearing, they did an emergency brake system on there, which goes onto the drive shaft on that. And that, by the time he was done with that, that was another $1,300. Amen. And God provided for that. Isn't God good? Amen. And I had one other breakdown. I can't remember what it was. That was the first one. Amen. Throughout the year, I had a bad oil leak in it. And got that fixed. That was $300 and some, you know, coming up from down south. And I had another little breakdown. You know, but, you know, God provided for every one of them. Isn't God good? Amen. All the time. He's always good. He's always taking care of my wife and I on the road. I sure thank him for that. She goes to sleep when I drive because she doesn't like to see how I drive, you know, all over the road, especially when I fall asleep on her, Pastor. Really, I don't know why it scares her so much, but, you know, I'm one of these days I'm going to have a heart attack and die driving, and she's not going to know what happened because we're both going to be in heaven. She always said, if you kill me, I'm going to come back and beat you up, amen. Well, good luck with that because I'll be there with you probably, amen. Well, Psalm chapter 1, and I do appreciate this church again, and thank you for it. And boy, thank you, brother, for that shot in the arm, amen, that message tonight. And you could just have him preach the whole time. It wouldn't bother me one bit, amen. I'm not, I've been in churches before where I've come in for revival meetings, the pastor will get up. When I get right before I'm supposed to preach that morning, he'll say, Brother Mike, do you mind if I preach this morning? I said, Brother, it's your church. I had a pastor one time say, Brother Mike, you mind if I preach today? I said, okay. I said, I'll tell you what, why don't you just preach all week and just give me the check, amen? So it don't bother me one bit. It'll give me something to get out of the parking lot when I leave, amen. I don't care who preaches, amen. I get to camp meetings all the time, and I tell them, I get some good friends that have camp meetings every year, and I say, I come for the preaching. You don't have to preach me, amen. And they usually start me off, usually in the beginning of the week. I usually one of the kickoff preachers, and I always enjoy that, amen. But I don't have to preach to have a good time and enjoy the house of God, amen. I just enjoy the house of God. Well, Psalm in chapter 1 with me. Did I already tell you that? Well, good. If I didn't, I'm telling you now. Amen. And would you stand with me as we read the habit I formed a long time ago? There's nothing in the Bible, Pastor, that says you have to stand when you read the Bible. Amen. We see where they stood sometimes most of the day reading the Word of God. Amen. But there's nothing that says you have to. It's just a habit that I formed over the years. I want to begin in verse 1. And most of you maybe have this memorized. You know, after I had open heart surgery and heart failure and a number of other things. My mind is not what it used to be, and I miss verses now. Amen. That happened to anybody else besides me in here? It might be your age. Like, Deb, I know it's your age that's doing it to you. Amen. But anyway, look what he says here in Psalm chapter 1. Just follow along with me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I like that plural, that rivers, amen. Rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, amen, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth, the Bible says, the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish, he says. Now, Father, thank you for your precious word, and I pray tonight that you would use it to speak to our hearts and help us, Father, as we draw upon it, Father, as a well for our thirsting souls, Father. I pray tonight, God, that you'd use it just to help each one of us, dear Lord. And Father, probably looking out here tonight, everybody in this room knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But Father, if there is any that does not, Father, I pray you just convict that soul this evening. And we'll give you the praise and thanks now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I look here in the text this evening for a moment, I want to look at this thought just for a little bit tonight of this blessed man. This blessed man. Blessed is the man, the Bible says, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But I want to think about this idea of a blessed man. I wrote down in the top of my notes here, how can you do less than give him your best? Amen. You want to be a blessed people. I hear people always say, when you say, well, God bless you, I am blessed. Praise the Lord. But I wonder how much that's true sometimes. Amen. And I do thank God for his blessings, but sometimes it's not because of me is why he blessed me, Pastor. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ is why he's blessed me. Amen. That has nothing to do with me sometimes. And if it had anything to do with me, I'm afraid that I'd put my hands all over that thing, and then I would ruin it. Amen. But God blesses us, and he blesses you, and he wants to bless you according to his word. The idea I wrote down just for a few moments here, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I don't know anything about the Greek or the Hebrew at all. I told you that this morning. I'm not a scholar by any chance. You know, there's more wisdom in the preacher in this room more than what I will ever have. And I thank the Lord for your book learning, amen. But I didn't have that. I didn't take that privilege, amen. And I did it the hard way, and I don't recommend it to any young man to do it the hard way, amen. I think young men ought to be in Bible college, amen. But this word delight here carries with it this thought of pleasure. Carries with it the thought of a valuable thing. Something in the mind, a matter or something in the mind acceptable. Delightsome, desire. Things desired pleasant, purposely or willingly. It's a high degree of pleasure, a satisfaction of the mind, which will bring joy. Amen. And then it also, that which gives pleasure, that which affords delight. It means to affect with great pleasure, to please highly, to give or afford high satisfaction as a beautiful landscape delights the eye, harmony delights the ear, and I can't talk either, amen. And harmony delights the ear, and good conduct of the children delights their parents, amen. Aren't you glad when your children obeyed, and didn't it just delight you? And you didn't have to say, you told them thank you. They just said thank you. Isn't that pleasurable? Amen. And it ought to be. Amen. And he says in Psalm chapter 119, verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Well, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Listen to that one more time. I would delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That means he's putting his word somewhere, amen, in his heart, in his mind, and studying the word, understanding the word. That's how it ought to be for you and me. Of course, a lot of times I understand and you understand that they heard the word or got the word from their fathers, amen, and the father taught them what the scripture said, and what the scriptures taught them the Ten Commandments, commandments of God, and they would hold that in their hearts and their minds, and then they would hold that unto themselves. And then when the word of God was read, and they would read it, and they would hear it, they would remember those things. Well, that's all ought to be for you and me. I would lay myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8 makes this statement. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. God, thy law is within my heart. It says law within your heart. Well, can I tell you this? If you're not in this, it ain't. Amen. Just simple English. Cheap English, amen. It ain't there. If you aren't in this, it ain't gonna be in your heart. You say, but I hear preaching all the time, preacher. I'm here Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and I come to revival meetings, go to missions conference, I come here to missions conference, preacher. But that's not the same. You can't replace the word of God with that, amen. You have to have it in your heart as a believer in Jesus Christ as a daily feed. It's got to be something daily for you and for me as a believer in Christ. I'm not saying you have to read. Dr. Don Green reads 10 chapters every day, even yet, brother, in his Bible up there in Lansing, Michigan. He's done it for 60 years now. What a blessing, amen, to hear a man of God who did it. 60 years he's been reading the Word of God, 10 chapters a day. A couple of years ago, I read 15 chapters a day, and I was glad when that was over, amen. I made that commitment to the Lord, and I'm glad that commitment finished, man. That'd like to kill me, amen. Anybody else ever do that before? You make a commitment, you just, man, you sort of open your mouth before you thought through that thing, amen. I always like, it's sort of like buying a car without trying it out, amen. You better make sure you know what you're doing when you make a commitment, because you better keep that commitment between you and God. Romans chapter 7 verse 22 says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight, he says, in the law of God after the inward man. I wrote this down in my notes here. Delight is more permanent, a more permanent pleasure than joy. Delight. See, many times joy is dependent upon sudden excitement. Boy, that's good. You might say, I got joy in my heart, you know. Well, delight is something that extends greater than that. It's something that you have in your heart that doesn't just stop all of a sudden because the excitement stops. Amen. I don't know about you, but I went to one time, I was in Boston, and was another preacher friend of mine from Maine, and he bought me tickets to go down to a Red Sox game with him, the first game of a doubleheader, amen. And now, can I tell you, I am not a Red Sox fan. If I ever said that here, I'm telling you now, amen. I know I'm from Michigan, I know that's what my plate says, but I grew up in Northeast Ohio, and you can't be anything but a Cleveland Indians fan in Northeast Ohio, amen. And guess who they were playing that day in Boston? And I'm sitting in the midst of all these Boston Red Sox fans, and they were playing the Cleveland Indians. And the preacher and I parked the car, and we walked into the stadium. The first inning was almost over, and the Indians were ahead by 8-0. The first inning, amen. And man, I'm walking in them bleachers, and I'm just going, glory to God. But I'm being real quiet because I know where I'm sitting. And they had a guy up there that played third base. His name was Lou something. And he gets up the bat, and everybody's going like this, Lou. And I'm sitting back going, boo. Every time they say Lou, they didn't know. The preacher goes like, he said, you better be quiet. Somebody's going to beat you up. I say, yeah, but it's worth it, brother. Amen. And we had a ball there. You know, excitement. Boy, when they would hit a run and the Indians lost 9-8 before it was over. Amen. And I wasn't too excited then. But until the ninth inning, I was pretty excited. Amen. They're going to beat the Red Sox again. Yeah! You know. But it ends real quick, doesn't it? Joy does not last sometimes. But delight will last. It's the joy is the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. that excitement of pleasurable feelings, which is caused by success, the good fortune, the gratification of desire sometimes, or some good possessed thing, or by a rational prospect of possessing what we love or desire, gladness, exaltation, exhilaration of the spirits sometimes will bring joy. But delight is something that will last when you have it. Delight in thy law, he said. Well, that was all introduction. Amen. I want to give you a couple of thoughts on this. I'm not going to spend time, because every time I do that, then I preach like I did in Papua New Guinea, 2 hours and 55 minutes. Amen. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try not to do that. Amen. But look here in Psalm chapter 119. I'm going to come back here to this verse again. I'm going to look at Psalm 119. I'm not going to give you all the scripture. If you go to Psalm 119, we're going to look at about four different verses there. And I got other scripture I've got written down that I'm going to read through here as I go. But again, in verse 2, he said, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." Day and night. I wrote down to meditate is the thought of sifting. Sifting. When you were younger, you remember, we don't see it today because of the flour. But I remember my mom standing in the kitchen and putting flour in a sifter and standing there. She was going to make something that my mother cannot bake. I'm telling you that right now. She does not know how to bake a thing. She can cook good, but she cannot bake. But she'd be sifting flour. How many of you remember that when somebody would sift the flour? Now, that's the idea here of this word meditate in the Word of God. But he, in his law, doth he meditate day and night. Is the idea of sifting? So I wrote number one. In fact, let's back up because I don't even want to get there yet. I'm going to get you too far. Number one, satisfaction in his Word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the idea of satisfaction. Look at Psalm 119, verse 14 with me. Psalm 119 and verse 14 with me. And the Bible says this, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as in all riches. His testimonies are what? His Word. That's his testimonies. It's his Word. And he says, I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. How many of you, when you get a little bit of change in the bank, it doesn't feel too bad, amen? And maybe you think, man, and then something breaks down and you forget that, amen? But, maybe you got a savings account that you've not ever had in many, many years, or you couldn't afford to have. Maybe you got some money set aside for something, and you think, but, at least if I break down, I can pay the bill, amen, and not have to use a credit card or something in that manner, something in that respect. Well, that's the thought here that I get as I look at the verse. I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Boy, if I was rich, I would rejoice. If I had $1 million, preacher, I would rejoice, and boy, I'd be thankful for that. And he said, but I rejoice. He says, I rejoice in thy testimony as much. As in all riches. If I was rich, we ought to rejoice in the Word of God. Had that thought in mind, I would rejoice in His Word as much as if I was a multi-millionaire. I know a few millionaires, and it doesn't seem like they rejoice much in the things of the Lord. Amen. And I'm talking about their independent Baptist brother. I know a few of them. I'm talking about independent Baptists, and they don't seem like they rejoice in the things of God and His Word the way they ought to rejoice. Look at verse 35 of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Satisfaction. He says, I delight in His Word. The blessed man delights in His Word, in the law of the Lord. That's the idea of satisfaction. We have satisfaction in His Word. He says, Psalm 119, verse 35, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Make me, cause me. Well, how many of us would be willing to say tonight, don't put up your hand because you don't want to commit to something, but how many would tonight, when you just think about this, would be willing to say, make me walk in thy Word? Amen. How many of us would be willing to say that to God? Make me, Lord, you make me. How many of you, when you're growing up, I'm sure, Brother Dave, that there's many times in school a kid might say, well, just make me. I'm sure you get them down there in Missouri, amen? Yeah. Make me. I can't work in... we worked in a children's home ministry for 5 years, and in Michigan you could not spank the boys, but I planted a lot of them up against the side of a wall before, and then, I couldn't work in Missouri. Today, that one not going, man. I'm going back to 1979 when you can still get away with a few things, amen. Make me go through, go in the paths of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Do you delight in the paths of his commandments? Are you willing to say, Lord, make me because I delight in your word. Show me, cause me, Father, to walk in your way. Well, when you pray like that, he might show you some things and maybe bring something into your life that will cause you to turn your eyes to him, and it will make you walk in his paths, amen, and delight in him. Psalm 119, look at verse 47 with me. He says this, Psalm 119, verse 47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Let me ask you a question. Do you love his word? Do you love his commandments? Enough to read it, enough to look at it, enough to consider it. Do you love his word? And we ought to. Yeah, again, I'm not saying you have to read, you know, all them chapters in a day. If you read your Bible through in a year, that's a good thing, amen. Brother, my philosophy has always been read your Bible, amen. Just read your Bible. Just get some Bible reading in. It'll help you. And the more that you're, and read until you get something, amen. And if you get something out of two or three verses, I know this goes against the grain, Pastor Rice, and I'm not preaching against reading through your Bible in a year. It's a great thing, but if you read it, read until at least you get something. If you don't have any more time to do anything, get something, amen. And then make up for it the next day, and you'll never catch up. Just read your Bible through in a year. There you go, you're all set then, amen. But if something happens, just read, amen. Get into the Word of God and read the Bible. And he says in Psalm 119, verse 16, go back to verse 16 with me if you would. We were in verse 14 earlier. Verse 16 says this, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I won't forget it, Lord. Lord, bring it to my remembrance. Help me, Lord, when I'm going through something, I don't want to forget thy word, Lord. I want it to be part of me. I tell you, get it in your heart where it ought to be. It'll make all the difference in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. A man who had been a pickpocket in England. There are some of them around today, amen. And whenever we go to a place, I hope I got my wallet somewhere. I hope I didn't lose it at a Chinese restaurant, amen, brother. But I left it out in the trailer. I think I did. Yeah. Anyway, if I did, it's too late now to do anything about it. You're gonna check the bank account, my honey. It might be empty. But I always take my wallet and stick it in my front pocket, you know, because if I got a pair of jeans on, it's a little bit tighter. Nate is gonna reach in and take that out without me knowing it. So, well, how do you know that stuff, Brother Mike? Well, I used to be there. Amen. There was a man in England that was a pickpocket. He stood up at a meeting. He said, "I was a pickpocket. One day on a busy street, I saw a man whose hip pocket bulged," he says. I said, "There is a fat purse in that pocket." I slipped out the purse and I didn't look at it until I got home, and when I took it from my pocket, I saw that it was a New Testament. In disgust, he says, I threw it on the floor. After a while, however, I picked it up, I began to read it. It told me that I was a sinner. It told me that Jesus, the sinner's friend, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and clean up my life. He did that. Now I find my greatest joy in telling others about him. Amen. So what was that that did that? The Word of God. And now he delights in the Word of God. Now he delights in telling other people about God himself, the one who saved him from his sin. Now look at the second thought with me, back to verse 2 of Psalms chapter 1, where he said, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, he says, day and night." Let's think about this for a moment. Meditate, the idea is sifting through his word. I already gave you the illustration of the sifter. Sifting through his word, it means to sift, means to filter. It means to, and by the way, there's nothing in here that we need to filter out. You understand that? We don't need to filter anything out of God's Word. We have God's Word. It's complete. It's finished. It's done, Pastor. We got everything here. But it's the idea for you and I. That's the idea to separate, to put through a sieve, to sort through, to go through, to examine, to select, to scrutinize, to go through with a fine-tooth comb that you might understand the things of the Word of God. You don't scrutinize the Word of God to destroy the Word of God. You scrutinize and you sift through it to help you grow in the very grace of God as a believer in Jesus Christ. The world today is doing a good enough job scrutinizing the Word of God and destroying it, amen. We don't need help from Baptist preachers that don't know what they're talking about. We just need to sift in the Word of God and get something to help each one of us as believers in Jesus Christ. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 makes this statement. He said, this is the book of the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Meditate therein. Again, he says, day and night. Amen. Meditate therein, day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He said, you want good success, meditate in the Word of God. Delight in His Word. Let it be a part of your life. Draw close to Him as a child of God. You want to be blessed by God? Amen. You want to be blessed by God? Sift through His Word. You want to be blessed by God? Get satisfaction in His Word as a believer in Jesus Christ. Psalm chapter 119, go back there again with me just for a moment. And look, if you would please, Psalm 119. Go down to verse 97 with me. Psalm 119, verse 97. And it makes this statement. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. I like the King's English, amen. I like the way they phrase some things. That's how I talk, amen. So I like how they phrase some things sometimes. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. It's my meditation all the day. His thoughts, his life, he scrutinizes, he goes through with a fine-tooth comb, he continues to mull that over in his mind and to think about the Word of God. Most of us, by the time we walk out the door of the church, we forget the Word of God. By the time we get home, we forget what the message was about many times. Have you ever been there? Besides me, I've been there. Sometimes, I don't know, brother, you ever forgot what you preach in the morning when you go to preach at night? Oh, yeah, you just told me a story about that, didn't you? About two Sundays in a row, yeah. The same message, the same church, two Sunday mornings in a row. I love it, brother. That's great. I always thought that this happened to me, Pastor, amen. I'm glad it's just not me that does something like that, amen. You ever do anything like that, brother? I mean, you know, just, you know, well, I tell you what. But isn't God good? Even then, He will use it. Somebody will come up and say, man, that's a, you could preach on the salvation. Somebody will come up and say, boy, that's the best message on the second coming of Jesus I ever saw. Amen. You never said nothing about that. Hallelujah. But that's what you hear. Amen. Well, I tell you, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day, going through it in my mind over and over and over and over, that I might not forget what the Lord wants me to learn and wants me to do. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15 makes this statement. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate upon these things. Well, there's a lot of things He gave you there to study out in the book of 1 Timothy by the time you get to chapter 4. But I like this, meditate upon the things of the Word of God and give yourself completely to them or wholly to them, that your profiting may appear unto all the people. Have you ever looked at somebody and you see them and you just know that they're a child of God? By the way they're acting, by the way that's all ought to be for us. People ought to just be able to identify us as a child of God. They ought to be able to see us and recognize us as a child of God. Amen. And I know the world, there's a lot of good people in the world. There are a lot of, but there's a lot of good lost people in the world. Amen. And there's some good people in the world that act better than a lot of independent fundamental Baptists act. Amen. But they're lost. And our life ought to be such that it would influence them to want what we have as a child of God. Amen. We ought to run around with smiles on our faces. Someone once said, an unbeliever said to a minister who was out soul winning and visitation, said to him, it is quite impossible nowadays to believe in the teaching of any book and an author whose authority is unknown. That's what the young man said to the preacher. The preacher replied to him, is the author of the multiplication table known today? No, answered that skeptic. He says, I assume logically then, he says, that you do not believe in the multiplication table. Of course I believe in it. It works well. And the preacher responded to him, well, So does it the Bible. Amen. The Bible works well too. Well, praise the Lord, my friend. We need to sift through His Word. And then if you go back to verse 3 of Psalms chapter 1, where He says this, "And he shall be like a tree." Here's the surety of God's Word. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Well, the blessed man. Now, we're not going to get into the ungodly and into the sinner tonight and into the scornful. That's another message. But I want to think about this for a little bit. This blessed man who doesn't walk in this way, this blessed man who doesn't stand in this way, this blessed man who doesn't set in this way, he says, "He shall be like a tree." He meditates on the things of God. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers," plural, "of water." I like that idea of the rivers, that the idea of the water flowing together, and where all those nutrients are gathering at one place, and that tree is planted by that water there. I don't know about you, but we used to have a dam in our hometown. We had two dams, and one of the dams over in Jefferson, Ohio, that we had was the East Dam and the West Dam, and out the West Dam was the Boy Scout cabin. And it was never, you could always ride your bicycles around the lock gate to get out to the dam. And they never stopped us. We always just went out to the dam, you know. And then we would swim out there in the water on this edge side of the dam on the after the water flows over. There's some deep spots there. And we had a tree that grew up right there on that river, big old oak tree that grew up, and it came out like this on a little bit of an angle, and a lot of them limbs hung right out over top of that water. And we had a great big old rope that hung down. We had a great big old long branch with a branch with a little notch in it that we'd reach out and we'd grab that rope and we'd pull that rope into us. And then we would start, I learned this from some bigger boys before I was too smart, amen. And we would start, we'd grab that rope and we would start and we'd run this way in that bank, and pretty soon that rope's going to get short enough for you got to jump off that bank. And then we would jump off that bank, and I learned how to do this. We'd swing out this way and we'd come back, and we'd come back around that tree. And when your knuckles are just about ready to hit that tree, you let go and you slingshot yourself out into that water. Man, it was the greatest exhilaration. You talk about joy, amen. And the first time you learn, I've seen guys hit that tree. I've seen guys rake their knuckles on that tree. I've seen guys they let go too soon and they hit the roots of that tree down that water. I tell you what, brother, I was always pretty fortunate. I swung the first time I ever did. I was scared half to death. But you know, I wasn't scared the second time. About the fifth time, I wasn't scared at all until I racked my knuckles one time. Amen. Then that scared me a little bit there. I thought I was going to break my hands. You know, I tell you what, that water, that tree that was by that water, and he says here, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water." He's going to be like that mighty oak tree. He's going to be strong and stand firm because his roots are sucking up all those nutrients. And well, I want to tell you what, here's all the nutrients you need right here in the Word of God. This is for you and for me. Joshua chapter 1 verse 7 says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." He said, don't turn left or right. You just go. You just keep going straight and narrow with it. He said, that you might prosper in your life. You want to be blessed by God? Stay close to Him in His Word. Stay close to Him in His Word. Get in His Word. Walk according to His Word. Do what His Word says. God will bless you as a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for young folks. When I say young, it's because I'm 65. So anybody younger under 65 passes young today. We're young compared to Grandma over here, amen. And she's 94 years old now, you know. And so you probably look at us and say, you're just a bunch of pups, amen. Yeah, so, you know, but I thank the Lord for young folks like this who are willing to go out and serve the Lord all around the world and be a help. I was thinking sitting there, I need a young man to help me sit up and turn on his trailer all the time. And my grandson wimped out on me. He said, "I'm going to Bible college." Well, what's up with that? Even though I'm glad, amen, praise the Lord. He always told me, he said, "Grandpa," he said, when I get older and you get old," that's how he used to say it when he was about 6 years old, "when I get older and you get old," he said, "I'm going to travel with you and I'm going to drive you all over the country." And I'm thinking, man, what a stinking liar he was, amen. No, I love him to death, amen. A great young man, praise the Lord for him. We follow the Lord. do right, be obedient. God will bless you. You're going to share probably for 2 or 3 hours up here tonight the blessings of God in your ministry. Preacher, you could have shared 2 or 3 hours up here tonight the blessing of God in your ministry, especially even being there. Well, you see something different at that children's home, amen. We worked in one, and we had every young man that ever came into our unit. They used to do this to us in our unit. We only had 24 boys there, but we had a unit of 7 to 8 boys at times, and our own unit, and they would bring them to me. They would say this. They would take them from this unit, and they'd put them over in this unit, and then when they couldn't do anything with them there, they said, send them over to Brother Mike. If he can't do something, nobody can. And I always told them, it's not me. I preached to them boys. I'd sit there at the dinner table at night in devotions, man. I'd put them to sleep before when dinner was over, amen. Before they went to bed. I preached at them. But we had every young man who ever came through our unit had put their faith and trust in Christ at one time or another, amen. Because I just believe it was God who did it. It was God who did it, amen. It wasn't me. It was the Lord, amen. One of the boys one time told another boy who was new, who just came in, and he says, you know, Uncle Mike was in prison. He said, he was in prison. He said, yeah, he was in prison. He said, well, what was he in prison for? He said, killing somebody for asking too many questions. Because that's what I told him before, amen. And you didn't say that in staff meetings. That didn't go over too good, amen. But Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9 says this, keep therefore the words of his covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. You want to prosper? You want to be blessed by God? Keep the words of His. Keep His word. Follow His word. Obey His word. Isaiah 3:10 says, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. The righteous, he says, they will eat the fruit of their doings. That means you're going to be blessed by God. Amen. You're going to see the fruit of your doings. Well, I'm afraid that many believers aren't doing what they ought to be doing, so therefore they're not blessed like they think they're blessed, Pastor. Some people think they're blessed, and it's just the Bible says it rains on the wicked as well the righteous, amen. The good and the evil, it rains both places. So some people are just blessed just because God is God, amen. And they suck out the blessings of everybody else. They suck out the blessings of the church, brother. And they're not doing what they ought to be doing, amen. James chapter 1 verse 23 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Amen. How many of you, I notice, I think I look just as young as I ever look when I look in the mirror. Amen. But I'd be lying to myself, wouldn't I? Amen. And so I know I don't look like I used to look. We got married, I was 174 and a half pounds, and I wore a 46 inch suit coat. I look like this, now I look like this, and I wear a 54 suit coat, and I went from a 32 pants to a none of your business pants, amen. And he said, for he behold himself and goeth this way and straight, he forgets what manner of man he is. I walk by, I walk out of the yard and think, man, I can do this, I'm going to work on the trailer today, and I forget what I saw in the mirror this morning. I forget that how my body is wore out. He said, but whoso looketh at the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Blessed in his deed. The blessed man. You want to be a blessed man? And when we say blessed man, he's talking about man, woman, child, those who are being obedient to God in their lives. You're not just talking about the male gender there when you study it out. Many times the word man or mankind deals with the idea of Adam kind or Adam's race. So the blessed man, you know, we blessed by God, come close to him and his word, be a blessed individual, and then let people see that in your lives. When somebody says, man, how can you go through that? How come that doesn't upset you? Amen. Things upset you easy? Well, things have upset me easy sometimes. Amen. Things have upset me easy sometimes. You ever lost your cool, Brother Mike? Yep. When? None of your business. Amen. Well, yeah, I have. You ever lost your cool? Amen. And I don't want to hear about later on how you lost your cool. That wouldn't do any good for you, do any good for me. But we have, haven't we, sometimes? You lost, you got upset about something. and the very few people I know that I've ever met, I think I've only met one or two people, maybe don't ever get upset about anything, but I'm sure if they were around me very long, I could find something to help them along on that, amen. I think I could find out something, Brother Overton, real quick, amen, to help them along the way of being upset with me if I had the opportunity. Well, we ought to want to be blessed people. Blessed people, blessed by God. And I thank God we're blessed with salvation. You know, we're blessed with eternal security. We're blessed with sanctification. You know, we're blessed by a holy, righteous God. We're blessed with His Word, to just have a copy of it. We're blessed just to be able to go before the throne of grace and bring our petitions and our prayers before a holy, righteous God. We're blessed. We're blessed because we have a place to come and worship every Sunday. We're blessed because you have a place to come every Wednesday. You're blessed because you have a place to come that cares about you and loves you and wants to hear the Word of God proclaimed to you. We're blessed just to have revival meetings, amen, in our churches. We're blessed just to have missionaries in the churches. We're blessed to have young ladies like this come into the church and share her heart for missions. We're blessed by God. But boy, don't let that stop you from seeking more from the things of God in His Word. Sift through it. Get out of here what He wants you to have from His Word as a believer in Jesus Christ. And let me encourage you. I'm looking, probably everybody in here tonight knows Christ as their Savior. So I think I'm talking to all born-again believers. I hope, amen, all born-again believers. Although I have known some preachers who got saved before, brother, amen, from their own preaching, amen. But probably everybody in here is a born-again believer tonight. And I just like to say, if you're not, please consider His Word. Consider His Word. And see what His Word has to say to help you, that you might be a blessed individual, that you might be what God wants you to be. Obey Him and follow Him and become His child. If you're not one, become His child. Amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And Pastor, tonight I'm just going to turn the invitation over to you. If you want to come up, I'll just let you take it.
Stand, God's tucked down your heart. 308 in our songbook. I surrender all. Praise the Lord. God's tucked down your heart. Deal with it in an altar.